of course he deserves to be suspended for this. He took the integrity of the game into his own hand. It's like, there's a lot of examples you could come up with. It does give you a competitive advantage. It'd be like Golden State's down there playing on a 9-foot, 10-inch rim, and the other team's playing on a 10-foot rim. There is definitely advantages there.
Oh, and that right there is why he's my choice. 98.5 Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. Adam Jones filling in for Fred this morning. And we've arrested a lot of people here for crimes against takes. And we are trying to determine this week via our newest bracket who is the worst offender of the Hot Take Police.
Hot Take Police. It's idiotic. You're a moron.
And we thought, because this is something you could make a massive bracket on. You could do 32. You could do 64. I mean, I'm talking entire NCAA. You could fill it easily. You got probably 8 people just at this station that could fill up, you know, 1/4 of it. So you've got. I thought to make it easy, we would pick the 8 worst offenders.
The biggest, like, hot takers.
And I think that
anywhere.
It should almost be easy to get, like, the first 5 or 6. The final 2 is going to be tough, and that's why it's going to come down to listener input. Now, the way that we've had this worked out is that Wallach, you, and I, Adam Jones, are going to be picking out 2 who we think should be on it, and the final 2 are going to be determined by our listeners. So we are going to finalize that bracket right now, all right? So we started talking about this at the beginning of the show, and we will finalize it now. 617-779-0985. If you have someone that you think deserves to be on the hottest hot taker bracket, the worst offender of flaming hot takes. Now, the 2 that I chose is Chris Sims right there. He was easily the first one because Chris Sims is a guy who is known for 2 things, as I was saying before, being the son of Phil Sims, and for any time that there's anything, any kind of news having to do with Tom Brady, to just mercilessly rip into the guy, even not using any logic, sense, or whatever. He's the guy that refuses to put Tom Brady in the top 5 quarterbacks of all time list. Not of all time, yeah. Of currently playing.
Yeah.
He did one.
Yeah, never mind all time, like of guys right now.
Yeah. It was like
maybe in the AFC East, he might not put him in the top 5.
2 years ago, I think that he came out, and that was right after they had won the Super Bowl. And he said he's not a top 5 quarterback in this league. And who did he put ahead of him? Who the hell was it? It might have been like Flacco. I was just going to say Flacco.
I think you're right about that.
And who else was hovering above him? I forget. But yeah, Tom Brady, not even in the top 5.
System quarterback.
Playing today. Yeah. I think that was after what we all saw in the second half of that Super Bowl against the Falcons. Quite possibly one of the best performances by a quarterback ever.
Oh, yeah, ridiculous. Yeah.
So he was number 1 on my hot take list. Number 2 is a guy that I didn't even think about, even though he's delivered many a hot take, until this past week when he might have just delivered one of the more ridiculous things. And the best part about this is that after he started talking about it, everyone else on the show like bought in, and there was a 5-minute conversation about this. Dan, could you please play the Chris Broussard clip here? This is Chris Broussard, who was on my list.
I actually think he could be president. I don't know if he wants to.
He's talking about LeBron James. They're talking about LeBron James being at the Lakers, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like, you can hear the car go. I gotta let this point be made.
Oh, we're going here? Okay.
Yeah, so here we go, Dan.
I actually think he could be president. I don't know if he wants to. And here's the thing, Jason. I think LeBron, I think he'd be a great president because you're talking about left wing. LeBron exhibits family values. If he brings his family values combined with his social awareness as far as social justice and his understanding of the importance of entrepreneurship, which he's doing, already building businesses, he'd be a great president.
And that's the best thing about it, is that the discussion had nothing to do with LeBron being president. It was him signing with the Lakers. And that's why he's going into politics and is going to be a president one day.
He'd be not just be the president, be a great president.
Be a great president.
Yeah.
So those are my 2 picks for the 8.
I had not heard that.
Oh, it went on for 5 minutes.
That's a hot take. I like the guy who, you said they jump in. I like the guy who jumped in and was like, yeah, I actually think that too. I actually thought that first, Chris. Like, he's like, oh, no, I thought that before you did.
You ripped it off from me in the show meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
And I took it off your email. Okay, so those are the two that I picked. Adam Jones, who are the 2 that you had on the list?
So I went with Nick Wright. No one gets the people fired up. I would contend right now, no one gets the people fired up like Nick Wright, and I don't get it. I think he's very easy to avoid. I don't know when his show is on. I do know his show is with Chris Carter. I know it's on Fox Sports. I don't watch a lot of Fox Sports. I don't watch any of his shows specifically. I feel like he's very easy to avoid if he riles you up so bad, but for some reason people can't avoid him. He pisses people off like no other.
Yeah, Nick Wright is like the low rent Skip Bayless. Like he's on, is he on the third tier hot take show? Like it's like you know the number one's obviously the one with Stephen A. Smith.
Yep,
that's the number one.
Yeah, First Take.
The First Take, and then you've got Second Take, which is the one that's on Fox. That's the one with Skip Bayless.
And Shannon Sharpe.
Undisputed is what it's called. I'm not trying to be funny here. Like, I don't know the names of these shows. Yeah. Okay, Undisputed is the one with, and I like Shannon Sharpe, so I'll keep him off this list. And then there's the Third Take,
that's
which
right.
is the one that's called, like, Speak for Yourself, Get Off My Chest. Get off my gallbladder. See, that if it was called Get Off My Gallbladder, I'd actually watch it.
Yeah.
So Nick Wright, just a snivelly gentleman. Let's take a listen.
That's where Kobe engages in some of the most intellectually dishonest revisionist history you are going to find. Where Kobe says, the only thing that ever mattered to me my entire career was championships.
Career.
Well, yeah, except for the time that you made the Lakers pick between you and Shaq, when Shaq was the best player in the world.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, yeah, except, well, yeah.
All right, so that's a decent pick. And who was your other one?
I went with Cowherd. I went with Colin Cowherd.
Okay, Colin Cowherd, I remember, and you actually reminded me, the one that kind of got him on the map was ripping on John Wall for dancing. Like,
yeah, he hasn't won anything.
He was a freshman. He hasn't won anything. Or not freshman. He was a rookie, and he just hadn't won anything, which was obviously people went nuts over. Okay, so there's two. 617-779-0985. We need to finish out the bracket. We got two more because John Wall, who do you have?
I have Skip Bayless and Stephen A.
Okay. Well, Stephen A, like Skip Bayless obviously deserves to be on this list. He's in the Hall of Fame for this. He's in the Hot Take Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's one with a
bullet. Remember Tebow? Tebow is going to be the best quarterback in the history of the game.
Yeah, he rode that horse for a while.
Yeah.
For what do you got there, Dan? You got something there?
It's a very sad day for me.
Okay, well, I don't know what that is, but he's very sad, obviously. Maybe it was a day that Tebow was cut.
When takes go wrong. When takes go wrong. I know that feeling. Yeah, you got to come in and just
gotta own it.
Acknowledge how wrong you were.
All right, let's go to Paul. Paul, you are on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, so I'm
going to
say Felger.
What, Felger? No, Felger's, he's fair game as well. What take fired you up the most? What's his hottest take that he's come out with?
Roy Holiday.
Oh, well, that's definitely an interesting take that he had there. I think that he regrets making
the most famous one is the cap is crap. Right?
Yeah, that is a famous one
that's
for him.
That's a famous one.
You see, I will.
Yes.
Skip Bayless, what do you think about the cap is crap? What do you think? Okay, thank you very much, Brethy Skip Bayless. So, I mean, we are fair game as well. I mean, Fred sat here and said that Jason Tatum wasn't ever going to be anything because he already hit his peak. He was 19. So that's a fairly hot take.
He's not going to get any better.
He's never going to get any better at 19. I sat here and said that the Celtics this year are going to win 68 games. No problem.
No, that's I bargained you down to that. You said 75 at first. But that's okay because he was so bad.
Dan, say on the air what you just said.
Game two, Celtics going to the finals. Okay. Book it.
Yes.
Up 2-0 in Cleveland. This team is going to the finals.
I stand by
that. You could not be talked off that ledge.
I still stand by that because up to that point, the Celtics were like, what? There had been how many different cases? Like 40-0.
Right.
When they were up two games in the playoffs, they had never lost. And Cleveland in those first two games looked like a bag of crap. Like, they didn't look like they could play, and then we know what happened. So I stand by that. I didn't even think that was really putting my nuts out there. I thought that was just kind of, all right, well, we all know now that they're going to go to the finals. So, but that's definitely worthy of a nomination if you want to put me on there for that. I've made worse ones, though.
I was going to say, I feel like...
Whoa! What is that?
That's a hint. Maybe we should go to break. Yes.
Boomer Esiason, he's got some national anthem hot takes.
You want to get Boomer in there? Hey!
We can definitely put Boomer on the
list. That was a vote for Boomer, I think, is what that was.
Without a doubt. So, I mean, Adam Jones, you've had some hot takes.
I was going to say, I've had some bad ones. I said the Patriots could never win a Super Bowl without Rob Gronkowski. They went out and did that against Atlanta. I called Rick Porcello for a whole year. He won the Cy Young, although he does kind of stink. Who else? What else have I had?
While you're thinking, let's go to Tim on line two. Tim, you are on Toucher and Rich.
Guys, morning.
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 I feel like you're missing one huge one.
Who?
How can you not have the round mound of rebound, Charles Barkley?
Well, someone tweeted Chuck at me earlier today.
Hmm. What take did you not agree with?
All of them.
Okay. All right.
See, everything you said.
All right.
I do love him, but he makes me laugh, but he can spit it.
All right. Well, let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on line one. Who you got? Who should be on our bracket of the hottest hot taker?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I got Rob Parker. Just because anytime he talks about the Patriots, he's always on FS1 on the herd. And whenever Tom Brady's name gets brought up, it's never anything good. So
Rob
I wanted to
Parker.
Ask yeah, Rob Parker was, you would. Remember RG3, the cornball?
Oh, I remember
that. Is
that
Rob Parker? That's Rob Parker, right?
That's him. I know who that is. Okay, so I came up with a list of people we have not mentioned.
Well, a caller mentioned Max Kellerman, which is a good one.
Max Kellerman's a good one.
Yeah.
I also have Gary Tanguay on here.
Ooh.
Okay.
Gary Tanguay, flaming hot takes. Remember when he said, it's a given. It's just a matter of time. Paul Pierce is going
to get traded.
It's going to get traded. It was well before the actual trade. Okay. Jason Whitlock.
Ooh, Whitlock's
I have
a good
in my
one.
List.
Yep, Whitlock's a good one.
Okay. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star.
No one had takes like him during Deflategate.
Oh, without a doubt.
What do you call him again?
He was like Mr. MMA badass.
Yeah.
What the hell was his name?
Oh yeah, it's part of
he's Dalton from Roadhouse of takes. Greg Doyle.
Yeah,
he's that's the Dalton of Roadhouse of hot takes.
Yeah.
And I think those are all the ones that have not been mentioned.
Doyle's a pretty good one.
Doyle still has the MMA photo at the top. Of
course he does because he's a badass. And there was Bart Hubbick.
I got some tweets about Hubbick.
Hubbick's one too. So we will narrow it down, and tomorrow we will start finding a winner of our hottest hot take bracket. And who will be the worst offender of the hot take police? It will be judged.
Hot take police.
And we will find out tomorrow. Maybe we should just have one. Like, who from the Sports Hub's the worst offender? Because we got to have someone from our own station.
Felger.
Unless you just put the Sports Hub as one of the entries.
It's got to be Felger, doesn't it?
Felger wins.
Is he the worst?
I think
so. Worse. Let's do the whole station. Let's do that.
Fine.
Because I think we've all had our moments. Jones, you've definitely had your moments.
Oh, I've had my moments. I don't want to compare to that.
How about hot take machine Marshall Hook?
Take NATO.
Yeah. You've got him ripping hot takes, so we will do that. Maybe we'll put the whole thing in. We'll figure it out. So we will we'll have that tomorrow. All right, 617-779-0985. The CBS Sports Minute is brought... South Shore Bank, brought to you by South Shore Bank.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bob, the Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. By the way, Adam Jones is in for Fred this morning. We're in our new studio, and quickly, there is somebody who was suggested for the hottest hot taker bracket, and it's someone I never would have thought of, but they might deserve a spot on this list. Ooh. As much as I love the guy, and as much as he is a friend of the show, and as much as we have him on every week, but somebody suggested Mike Gorman. And the reason being is if you remember, not this past season, but the season before, with the Isaiah Thomas season, he predicted Celtics in six against the Cavaliers.
Right.
And then because of almost how many times has he done, I wouldn't trade blank for anybody.
The Avery Bradley for no one but LeBron James.
Tyler Zeller for Lebron. Right. I wouldn't do it.
I don't remember the Tyler Zeller thing, but
the Avery Bradley one. Though,
well, of course
right?
I remember that. I mean, Fred won't let him forget that.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, that's one, but he's done another one of those. And I forget what it was. Oh, okay. He said that the Cavaliers wouldn't
make the Eastern Conference Finals.
Eastern Conference Finals or wouldn't make the playoffs?
No, I know. It was Eastern Conference Finals. Because LeBron was still there. Mm. He just said that the Celtics would be there and Cleveland wouldn't.
Oh, okay. I think you're right. He said that the Celtics would... I'm sorry. You're right. They wouldn't make the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. They wouldn't make it past the second round. The Cavaliers would not. So that's somewhat of a hot take as well. Whereas I think any team with LeBron, most people would say otherwise. But either way...
Are those hot takes or are those just bad predictions?
Well, I wouldn't trade anybody except for Kevin Durant or LeBron for Avery Bradley.
Right.
Is
that's
a pretty
a
hot take.
That's true. That's a hot take.
And
I take that back.
And a prediction can be a hot take. I mean, if you came out and you said that, you know, like he did last year, that the Celtics were going to win. And I mean, everyone knew that it was just gravy when they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Patriots are going 19-0. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah.
you actually said that?
Yeah, I upped it to 23-0 before the preseason was over. And then then they lost, I think, their first preseason game.
Okay. Have you ever... Okay, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Have you ever said something on the air that you didn't fully believe? Just to...
Fully believe?
Just to, like,
yeah,
be on the
sure,
air.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Not fully believe, sure. Most, I'd say mostly believe.
Look who you're right. talking to.
I'd go with mostly believe.
This is a hot take confession.
No, I mean,
behind the scenes.
Now listen, he has the moniker. He's wanted a nickname for years.
100% believe. No,
he's got the nickname
sure.
now, and he feeds the monster. This is the joy of being Jones. He's got this thing he can do now to piss people off and get people to call him. This is perfect for him.
51%, not 100%.
Okay, yeah. are you a character?
No.
Okay.
No,
you are not a character now.
No.
I mean, some things will get amplified a little bit.
Okay. So you embellished and turned up for dramatic effect. What percentage is that?
I said 51.
Okay. 51% is embellished.
If I'm 50, what percentage of me is embellished? Oh, I don't know. That's probably a high percentage. A high percentage of embellishment.
Okay. All right. Well, at least you're being honest about that.
Yeah.
Okay. You're kind of doing it with
that. That's higher than 51.
Okay. All right. Well, at least I like the honesty. I appreciate this morning. All right. Let's go to Carl on line one. Carl, you are on Toucher and Rich.
Nick Wright on FS1.
Got him.
First things first.
He's on the list.
He
got him.
He's on the list.
Yeah,
got him. Where's
he has a hot take every day. It's awful.
Oh, yeah. And it's always ridiculous. So,
I'm sorry. But
we got to get Robbie on the case. Could you write down these
every day.
Things? All right. Let's go to...
he's the only guy who watches every day.
He listens every day. Oh, he's got a hot take every day. Yeah, so you listen every day. Okay.
Mike. Wow. Mike, what's up, man? You're online, too. You're on Toucher and Rich. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? First off, I want to reach out. I never got a chance to after the whole marathon thing. I think what you did was amazing, what you and your wife did, Rich.
Oh, thanks, man.
Top-notch guy you are.
Thanks.
But,
it's not me. It's all her.
I mean, yeah, obviously it's all her, but you got out there, man. You guys, you know, you showed what it's like, to, you know, to really support each other, and I thought that was really amazing, really touching moment.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
And I love the fact that Dan Roche has nothing better to do than hang around at the Boston Marathon finish line till midnight. But,
that dude made it a story. Like, he's the one who actually made it something, because he started, like, talking about it on the newscast, and they had, like, a checkup on Mary, like, during the... And you have to understand, I didn't know any of this was happening, because I was, you know, busy with Mary trying to get to the finish line after, you know, we'd started over. And so every once in a while, I would just tweet out a picture, and I would just put the phone and zip it up in my pocket. And so when we got to the finish line, we had no idea any of those people were going to be there, or there was going to be the media, but that's all because of Dan.
Jeff Glor, who now hosts the CBS Evening, or NBC, is it CBS Evening News?
Yeah.
He's the guy. He's from here.
Yeah.
He worked here before he went national, and give it to Dan to know that.
Yeah, so he's the man. All right, Mike.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that was great by Dan Rose. So I'm going to give you one quote, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you tell me who it is.
Okay.
This kid's got the timing of Bill Russell.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy Heinsohn might have to go on this list. I mean, who is he saying?
That was about Greg Steemsma?
Greg Steemsma. Yeah. He reminds him of Bill Russell, and he said somebody else fairly recently, too.
Yeah, he didn't like Al Horford before Horford came here.
He hated Al Horford.
Hated Horford, then Horford came here. He's great. Yeah,
now he's the best guy in the world. Let's go to Kyle. Kyle, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hi, my suggestion is Bart Scott. The guy always trolls the Patriots. I can't stand him.
You know, Bart Scott, and Kyle, I appreciate your call. Bart Scott has said some things, but no one's a bigger offender than Chris Sims. It's like Chris Sims is just as anti-Patriots as you could get. At least Bart Scott is a guy that's played the game and is speaking from a little bit of experience. And he's funny. I think Bart Scott's kind of funny.
He was more of a villain, like, as a player.
Yeah.
Than in the media.
I don't know. I'll have to check the tape. Maybe there is. And if anyone's got, like, a tape of one that I'm completely forgetting about, because I think the Gorman one's an excellent one, and wasn't even on the table.
I got a good one that I got tweeted in. And it is an old one, but it might be, like, it's an OG hot take. Tom Jackson, they hate their coach.
Oh, Tom Jackson.
Like, I don't know if Tom Jackson is, like, a hot taker, but that's a good one.
Tom Jackson had an all-timer, and that was where he said that the Patriots were going to lose some playoff game, and after they won, he said the reason that he said it was because he knew the Patriots were going to be watching him
TV. He was going to motivate
him. And that was going to motivate him. Oh, that's right. That's Tom Jackson, right?
That sounds right.
Ooh.
That sounds right.
I got to find that clip because as the words come out of my mouth, I can't believe he actually said that. So he went on TV and said and predicted that the Patriots are going to get blown out in some game or whatever. And then after it was done, when they went back to him, he's like, yeah, he's like smiling. Yeah, yeah. Listen, look, I knew.
Here's the deal.
I'm so important that I knew that in the locker room before the game, they were going to, because it was before the game, they were going to hear about me. They weren't going to worry about stretching or warming up. They always say, what's Tom Jackson saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're going to, and I'm going to blow their mind and I'm going to be the reason they get inspired because TJ's laying it down. Mm-hmm. And now that they've won, my plan is complete. Oh my God, what a jackass. I can't believe he said that.
And then after they won the Super Bowl, Belichick refused to sit on the same stage with him.
Oh, which I thought was great.
After the game
which
was
I thought
over.
Was so petty and so great at the same time. Yep. We got to find that clip. I mean, that's an all-timer. Ooh, that is, but Tom Jackson's been gone for so long that you kind of forget, but man, you're right. He was around for the Deflategate stuff and he was going nuts. Dilfer's a guy we're getting for the bracket.
Oh, here we go. It was on Patriots Jets. Tom Jackson picked against the was it against the Jets he picked?
Oh, I thought it was the Patriots, but I could be wrong.
I'll do a little more research on this, but it looks like it was that 2011 playoff game.
All right, well, I'll see if I can find it. But I just remember that might have been one of the dumbest of all time. That might be one of the worst takes ever that he threw that out there because he knew it was going to get the team riled up.
He said the Patriots would whip the Jets 30-10. Then the Jets won, and Bart Scott did his whole,
can't wait.
Yeah, can't wait. And he said that...
That was the Wes Walker foot game that we played the clip of earlier.
Yeah, right. His pick was... Yeah, exactly. His pick was premeditated and part of a psychological game to reinforce the Jets' bunker mentality of us against the world.
Oh, that's the best.
That's a pretty good one. I had forgotten about that.
I had, too. Oh, it's one of the all-time... It's why our callers are the best, because they figured all this stuff out. All right, 617-779-0985. John Wallach's headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Major League Baseball is on its all-star break. The game is tonight. A.J. Hinch is the manager for the American League, which is looking for a sixth straight win in this game.
Really just to have fun. I mean, this is such a different experience, from years in the past. This is my second time at an all-star game. Ned Yost invited me in 2015. Mm-hmm. And, the competitive spirit is going to be there between the lines because these guys don't want to be embarrassed. They don't, but right. I want them to have fun.
Mookie Betts will lead off of the AL. J.D. Martinez will hit fourth. Chris Sale will start against the National League's Max Scherzer. Craig Kimbrell will pitch out of the AL bullpen. Mitch Moreland will come off the bench. At the Home Run Derby last night, Bryce Harper won it in front of his hometown fans, beating Kyle Schwarber in the final. The MLB Network reports the Baltimore Orioles are on the verge of finally trading Manny Machado. They're so close, in fact, Machado's appearance in the All-Star game tonight could be his last one representing the Orioles. The LA Dodgers apparently have a big lead over Philadelphia and others to get a deal done. That deal should be this week. Pittsburgh Steelers and Le'Veon Bell failed to strike a deal on a long-term contract yesterday. That means he'll have to play this coming season on the franchise tag again, and the Celtics have reportedly signed Walt Lemon Jr. to a two-way contract. He's a guard who played 5 games for New Orleans last season. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Visit now for a 15-minute oil change. You can stay in your car. No appointment is ever needed. I'm John Wallach of Boston Toll for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. It's available in the App Store and Google Play. Miss something?
You know what that means.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Mankind became stupider.
Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack it up. 98.5 is Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We got Adam Jones filling in for Fred this morning. And real quick, a couple things. First of all, we had a caller call in who mentioned Mary's story, and you probably all know by now what happened with her in the marathon and how badly it went this year for everyone because the rain was just, it was atrocious. I know that Shalene Flanagan, who's like one of the best marathon runners in the country, I think she won the New York Marathon a couple of years ago and for the women, and she said it was the worst condition she's ever run in, and she's running everything. So when the people from Michelob Ultra found out about my wife's story. If you hadn't heard before, she the doctors told her to stop, but she went back and finished it later on after she got like dry clothes on and finished. She was the last person to finish the Boston Marathon. So they found out about her story and they reached out to her and they said, how would you like to get a second chance at doing a marathon? And they are now, they gave her a bib for the New York Marathon in November, which from everything I don't know anything about marathons until now. And now I guess it's like ridiculously hard to get a number. So they're giving her a do-over. On top of that, they're letting her train with this woman, Shalene Flanagan, which is super, super cool that they're doing that. So she's going to be running in it. But when I told the story, you know, there are a bunch of people who are tweeting us and stuff like that. And the people from Michelob Ultra contacted me and said, well, it sounds like, you know, everyone who ran it in Boston pretty much has a nightmare of a story and would love to do it over again. So tomorrow on the show, I think around what, like in the 8 o'clock hour? Is that right, Dan? Sometime in the 8 o'clock hour? They have given me a bib to the New York Marathon to give away.
Oh, you don't want to run it yourself?
No, not for me. Yeah. They have given me one because they were like, listen, I know that there's a bunch of people who have like nightmare stories who like either stopped or couldn't finish or just got like pummeled. I mean, there was a point during when I was waiting for Mary before she, the doctors told her to stop. I was waiting somewhere between mile, it was right after Heartbreak Hill. I was waiting for her in the car, and there was a period where I couldn't see 10 feet in front of me. The rain was so bad.
Oh, it was awful.
And just imagine for like 4 or 5 hours just standing in that, less running in that.
It was awful. I'm trying to remember, where was I that day? We were at an event that day, and you know, I was just in the Boylston T-stop, and you see all these runners who got done with the race, and they're soaking wet. They're shivering.
Yeah.
Muscles are convulsing. Like, it was a mess.
Well, the guy who is the head of the Boston Marathon, and I forget what his name was. I read an article after that, and he said that a couple weeks earlier, he'd ran a marathon in Antarctica, and he said that the conditions in Antarctica were better than that of the Boston Marathon.
Yikes.
He said it was horrendous. So they said that they gave me tomorrow in the 8 o'clock hour, we are going to give away a bib to run in the Boston Marathon, not the Boston, the New York Marathon, which is ridiculously hard to get one. So we will give that away, and cool. That is thanks to the good people at Michelob Ultra. So Forbes just came out with their list of the highest-paid entertainers, and that includes athletes. Entertainers, athletes, all the stuff together, and how much money they made in 1 year. Now, this is for 2017, all right? So it's not in the past, like, 12 months. This is for the year 2017.
Floyd Mayweather.
Floyd Mayweather is number one on this list.
Always
entertainer
Floyd Mayweather.
In the world. This is in the world.
Wow.
The number one entertainer because of the money he made in his fight versus Conor McGregor.
Right. Yeah.
And his
brilliant businessman.
The total that he made for the entire 2017 was $285 million. Yeah. I think he made over 200 for that fight alone.
Sure.
Which, if you're wondering why they're even talking about a rematch, that's why. Because if you get like one, you know what, one third of that.
One fight where he can go dance around and is in no real jeopardy and make $285 million in a year.
Essentially, yeah.
So now the biggest shock on here is the actor who made the second most. There's an actor who was number two on this list.
So I had a guess. Now maybe I'm way off on this. Maybe I'm way, way off on this, and you've seen my shortcomings with movie knowledge and things, but I was going to guess like Pratt or somebody like that, like from being in like these superhero movies.
Because he's been in so many different things? No. I'll tell you this much. The guy who is number two on this list, it isn't because of a movie he was in. No, the closest one to that would be The Rock. The Rock comes in at number five, and he made $124 million.
That was going to be my guess.
Like, he's still,
well,
like, he gets paid more than, and usually Wahlberg's up there, but he's not in the
top
10.
Where's Robert Downey Jr. in all of this?
You know, that's a great question because of all the money he gets from Iron Man. But he's not in the top 10. This is entertainers, so there's athletes and everybody around the world, too. Number one is Floyd Mayweather. Number two, George Clooney, who made $239 million because he sold, like about 10 years ago, he went in with a friend on some like tequila company.
Oh, yeah.
And that huge corporation like Diageo or whatever they're called that own like a lot of the big like liquors. They bought him for like 200 something million dollars. So he walked away. He made more money in his liquor business than he ever did in acting. So he's number two on the list.
Wow.
Kylie Jenner comes in right after that. Judge Judy. Okay, now this I don't understand. Judge Judy's number four, yet it says that she made $400 million last year. How is that number four? That is strange. I know that her syndicated show pulls in a ton of money. Then it goes The Rock.
Does she make money that's not, like, Wow, that's, yeah.
I don't know. It just doesn't, no, it doesn't make sense to me why it's listed that way. Then it's U2 with 118 million, Coldplay with 115, Lionel Messi with 111, Ed Sheeran with 110, and then Cristiano Ronaldo made 108 million. Cristiano Ronaldo is one of those guys that if you ever go overseas, he endorses everything.
Everything.
I mean, everything. Like, just take everything that Peyton Manning used to endorse and then put it on top of everything Tom Brady endorses, except for the, you know, pliability, CB12 method. And that's him. So there's your top list. Floyd Mayweather, what a... That guy on his own, could, like, if there was a fight, no one's going to pay to see it now.
No.
I mean, that was his last big paycheck, unless he does Conor McGregor. Manny Pacquiao, by the way, just did something in,
random fight over the weekend.
In the Philippines, like, against a bad fighter, and I don't know, was it even on pay-per-view?
I don't know.
I don't know if it was.
All I saw about was people, it was on ESPN? Yeah. There's some people bitching about it on
this
Twitter.
This is Manny Pacquiao was the best pound-for-pound fighter for, what, a decade? Maybe 15 years? And now he's 38, 39, and fighting just to stay financially solvent.
All right, did you watch the Sacha Baron Cohen show, What is America, on Showtime?
I did not see it.
Okay, but you've heard about it, right?
Yes.
Okay, it's the one where there's the video going around where he poses. In the show, he poses as four different new characters. You know, he was Borat, yep. He was Ali G. And one of the characters, he gets these people to, like, I'm talking senators and congressmen, and he has them all do an infomercial for arming four-year-olds and arming preschoolers. And they do a commercial for these guns that you can buy that look like unicorns and teddy bears. And it is, like, so horribly disturbing. But the first part of it is kind of funny, but it's not because he, like, tricks people into doing stuff. It's because there's this one show that he ends up feigning. Like, the way that he does it is he sends a letter to these people and, like, fakes that it's, like, some, you know, show for PBS or whatever. But there's one show that he is, quote-unquote, the star of, called Second Chance Convict, where he plays a guy who's been in prison for 20 years. And so all of these people are like, oh, the show is about, like, giving him a second chance. He's paid his debt to society. And, you know, so there's this one time where he goes to an art gallery, and there's this woman who I actually feel pretty bad for. She's, you know, very well-dressed, and, you know, she's very well-kept. She runs this gallery, and this guy's like, hey, when I was in prison, I found myself to be a pretty good artist. And she's like, oh, that's crazy. Yes, I one time when I got in a bloody shank fight with my with one of my prison mates, they came in and they were about to take me to the vault, but they realized I had painted such a beautiful picture with my feces on the wall that they said, it's so beautiful, you should start doing art. And so she's like, oh, so you paint with your stuff. And he goes, yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I brought some with me. And he has the woman, like, holding these pieces of cardboard.
That's great.
just like, oh, you had nice red color on that. Yes, that's the blood from after I attacked the man. This poor woman's, like, holding on to this thing. The show's pretty good, but, I mean, there's now a ton of people saying that they were tricked into saying what they said because, like, I know that Sarah Palin said that he posed as a disabled veteran.
Yep.
So she basically just did whatever he said, and now it's all going to come out. You know, what methods does he use to convince people to say what they said? One guy who...
Can I ask, you've seen it, right?
Yeah,
So, is he giving... Is it pretty obvious that he's screwing with them? Like, should people be able to pick up on it? So that's what I'm saying.
How
do you feel bad for some people who get duped by it? He's dropping clues.
But that woman, it's like, I mean, you know, she was handed, like, a thing that was supposedly had his...
I don't necessarily mean her. I mean, like, some senators who should have their antenna up.
I don't feel bad for those guys.
Okay.
No, they're the ones making laws. They shouldn't be that dumb. And so there's one guy who is saying that the reason he did this commercial for arming four-year-olds was because he was told he was going to be given an award from Israel, and that there was a story. He was told there was a story about a guy who came into a classroom and he dropped the gun, and this four-year-old girl held him at gunpoint. And so it was basically, you know, an initiative that they got from that to arm preschoolers. And if Adam's like, you still say no to that.
Right.
Like, Jesus. That's still ridiculous. Why would you do that? And this was, like, his excuse when he came out for saying why he was suckered into doing it. But I guarantee you, within the next, like, couple months, you're going to start to hear a little bit of behind the scenes of how he gets into getting all these incriminating interviews from people. But it's fascinating, man. It's legitimately funny when he's, you know, just a ridiculous character. But when he's suckering these people into saying stuff, I say sucker, but they know what they're saying. And there was one congressman who was like, you want me to say on camera that I actually support the arming of 4-year-olds? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, no. So, so at least it is.
So good for you.
So there's a couple of people actually come off, you know, looking all right in this. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have coming up next.
You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 is Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. I want to thank everyone who participated in yesterday's Who's Your Caddy Classic for 98.5 is Sports Hub. A lot of money was raised for Tony Maz.
Did we win?
Charity. Yeah.
How'd we do?
I was with Wallach and Dan O'Brien and a damn good golfer in Greg Bedard.
Yeah, really
yeah Greg good. Bedard was like killing it.
Back then, he was on fire.
Wallach's not bad. If you had to, like, do the percentage pie of how many people's shots were taken, I'm not being false humble. Wallach can attest to this. I was probably, like, 2% of my shots. And then it went Dan O'Brien at probably maybe, like, 15%. And then it went...
Yeah, that's about 10% too high.
Okay,
yeah.
Maybe, like, 5%.
But can I just say the best thing about Wallach yesterday, he absolutely let you know when he hit a good shot.
And wow, by, nice.
And Jonesy, he'd walk by and he'd be like,
Wallach can...
I absolutely crushed it. Like, into the next hole.
Yeah.
You crushed it into hole 7. We're on hole 9.
That's right.
He can't resist doing. Way. He keeps making sweet love to the air with his hips.
Yeah, don't let him forget. Oh, he's doing one of those.
No. Let's not go crazy.
A little twirl, a little golf twirl.
He had the twirl of the club.
Yeah, nice. Right. Yeah, he did. He did
like that.
But he was legitimately good. Except he's the only one who actually like almost hit.
I almost
someone.
Killed a guy.
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. Like almost
on the next hole, I shank my drive so bad.
And the best thing about that shot, so he was hitting pretty well all day, but he shanks one. And to our right is the green of the hole that we just finished.
Well.
And it is heading straight towards this group of guys. And Dan's looking at me. He's like, is he going to call 4?
I didn't see it.
Is he going to yell 4?
I shanked it so bad, I had no idea where it went.
And it like went right over the guy's head. And I'm not yelling 4 for him. I wanted Wallach to be. It'd be funny if he got hit and they all blamed Wallach.
I was so far to the right. I was looking forward. I had no idea where it was.
Almost took him out.
So, almost.
Yeah. I know that it raised a lot of money for, I believe it was pediatric cancer. It's the Children's Hospital. Tony Maz is been doing that for a while, and I know they've raised a lot of money. I think they announced yesterday that I think through all the Who's Your Caddy Classics, it's raised over like almost like $200,000 or something crazy like that.
Wow.
So how was the auction afterwards? Anybody get drunk and get on the microphone? It's different when Fred's not there.
I did not. Okay. Did not stay.
All right. I had to leave immediately afterwards.
Yes,
too.
I know that.
How was the auction, Hardy, afterwards?
Hardy was anybody, here. That's right.
Did anybody...
Who hosted the auction, Hardy?
Get Randy on the microphone as in years
was
past?
Was it you? Who hosted the auction?
I am on.
You're good.
Yeah. I'm on. All right, I'll plug in here too.
It's the red light.
I did a little bit of the auction. It started with Mike Thomas getting up there, and then I think the first people he brought up were Bob Beers and Judd Surratt to do a Bruins item, and then I got up there. Big Jim Murray got up and auctioned off a Red Sox item as David Price, which was really good.
Nice.
And then I started my part of the auction by doing an imitation of Fred.
Okay.
In the auction.
Nice. So he just kind of fell into the prizes.
I just said, hey, boosty, boosty, bop, hey.
Well, the best was like Fred last year was like, what do we got? What are you going to wear here? BC tickets. You're an idiot if you bid on BC tickets. I mean, they could just, I mean, they give these away for free. I mean, you could just drive by BC and they throw them in your window. And I'm thinking the whole time, this is like money for kids with cancer. So, yeah, thank you, Fred. You killed somebody by not auctioning those off the right way. Very very good for you, Fred.
That was good. It was good. So, Wallach, you didn't stay for any of that?
Did not.
How'd you play?
Oh, that sounded...
It was so bloody hot there yesterday. And the guys up at Atkinson said that it was so hot there, like 4th of July week. He said they would have like 4 or 5 groups on the course on like a given day because it was so unbelievably hot. And it was like that yesterday. So we didn't play well. I think our team, me and...
it's a poor carpenter who blames his tools.
No. Big Jim and Maz. Maz can play. And his buddy, I think we were 3 under or something.
Oh, that's now I don't feel so bad. We finished even, I think.
Hey, Zoe.
Yeah.
Like the shirt?
How you doing? Pliability. I love it. Where did you see the TB12 hats?
There is a store that's loaded with TB12 stuff. Like, it's like a TB12 shrine.
Where's this at?
And I got this shirt. It's a store called Town Pool. And I went, I got this shirt, and went, and they said, would you like to buy a pliability shirt? And I said, oh, what, am absolutely I not going to buy a pliability shirt? And so I went up there, and I personally said, oh, there's a free gift with purchase. How about that? TB12 nuts. A bag of TB12 nuts. They handed me, this has got to be like a $45 value.
That's awesome.
One handful of organic nuts.
You're
going to
feel
nuts.
So much better after you eat those.
Am I really?
Yeah.
Well, then maybe I should try them.
I'll
right
tell you
now.
What, this is exciting here. This really is. This feels like the first day I went to Maryland. And you go downstairs, they show you the cafeteria, and you know, but you got to pay for the stuff if you take it. Like, at least when you're on training table at college, you eat everything you want. But to see everybody and everybody's nice.
I don't think all students got to do that.
Brand new.
I think just the athletes.
I like what they say in Maryland when they gave me the answers in the test.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, it's the way they usually do right it in college, right? They just give you the answers before you take it.
Oh, it was awesome. We had stadium seating, and on test day, we looked like geese flying south. And there was like the one smart looking kid that I'm not going to say who it is. But you know, you find one of them on campus, and then you sit behind them like that in the triangle. That's all.
The one with glasses is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Find
good
a nerd.
Just want to clarify.
Find
that
a nerd. Find a kid. Find a kid walking
find
around.
Find a pocket protector.
Find,
thank
yeah
you.
Find Dexter over here.
Find a kid looks like he's actually went to class every day. And okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to sit behind him. And then a stupid professor would go and pass out four different tests.
Yep. And then you I'm go like, to coach oh, and he God gives you the answers. That's right. What do you guys got on the store for today? Is this your first?
This is my first day in the building.
Okay.
This
he's
is never, great.
He showed up here for the first time ever. Half an hour.
They wouldn't let me park in the visitor parking spot.
9:15.
Oh, yeah.
I'm technically a visitor. It's like first time here.
But everybody else has made, like, you know, the courtesy visit. Oh, yeah. See how things are coming along. Yeah. How am I going to get here?
Wait,
blah, blah, blah.
No. I didn't make a courtesy visit.
I would just come in here.
You made a courtesy visit?
Several.
Yeah.
Oh, Beetle comes in like 3 times a week.
Well,
I'd never been. I was all the lights were off on the first floor, and they're all motion sensor, and I was like triggering off different lights as I walked around down there. I'm like, where am I?
I met David when I walked in, and you know he's been flooding us with emails, so I finally know who David and Mark are. And we have windows in front of our studio, which is awesome because you can see everything.
Yeah.
And
you can watch the bathroom, see who's going in and taking a dump every day, which is kind of nice.
They're getting ready for a champagne toast.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what the crowd is gathered for?
I tell you what.
There you go.
And the show, will be Wiggy-proof today because he is gone for the week. He's not here.
Oh, that kills him.
So the Wiggy alarm did not have to go off at any point during our show.
Seeing
that he talks
Monday
for 2 minutes an hour.
Yeah.
It's like, here's another song by Cardi B.
I'll see you in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Here's a pre-recorded scam.
By the way, you guys made me so sad this morning.
Why?
It literally made me melancholy.
On what?
Listening to the entire Dick Flavin poem.
Because
we just hear like bits of it every once in a while, and I mixed a couple in during one of the 98 Mile raps.
Yeah, yeah.
But hearing it,
how's he not dead? Yeah.
Start to finish as it aired that day. I'm like, oh.
Like really, Bob Lobel.
The Bob Lobel.
I would not be in this business if it wasn't for Bob Lobel. And he's one of my favorite people in it. And now all of a sudden he's got to do these bits with guys like Flavin trying to I got some fix a dent in my dentures there.
That's a smart move. Put those guys in there to give him like mass amounts of fried food.
Tell you what, I came in, I shook Jones's hand.
Who falls first?
The Dark Knight, you have actually cold, smooth, little skinny fingers.
Yeah.
And
I just washed them.
You are Dr. Death.
Yeah. All right. There's people waiting to do their champagne.
Oh, we got to go.
All right.
We're going to
hold
everyone up. Okay.
All right. So a cup.
All right. We will see you tomorrow. The Dark Knight will be back. We will finish our hottest hot taker. We'll start our hottest hot taker bracket, rather. And here is anybody else in? It's just you two guys? Oh, and
no, Sarge.
Oh, and of course, Sarge.
Sarge.
All right,
Sarge.
So we will see you tomorrow. Bye.